All right, we're here at the Boehringer Ingelheim Swine Health Seminar in North Carolina. I'm speaking with the last speaker on the program, Dennis. Dennis, could you give me your name and your title? Where are you from?
Dennis DePetri. I'm an economist specializing in the swine industry and work out of Columbia, Missouri.
You talked today about several interesting things, controlling variants and also precision agriculture in swine production, which I thought was very interesting because we do a lot of coverage of precision ag, of course, mostly in crops. So what is the application, and how can swine producers, livestock producers in general, use precision agriculture techniques to improve their efficiency?
Well, it's a really interesting roadmap if you begin to understand what's going on the crop side, and really has been going on for almost 20 years now with precision agriculture techniques. With the use of satellite images of fields and soil maps, different things like that, that can literally be put into the computer of the tractor and the combine and so on. Farmers who have adopted this technology can, first of all, see the variation within their field very clearly. And that includes, for instance, variation of soil type, elevation, and other things which might impact the amount of nutrients or seed density or irrigation that you might want to apply. And as they discover that that variation, the techniques of precision agriculture let them actually adjust the production process while it's still in progress, not just wait till the crop's in at the end of the year, see what happened, and then, well, we'll do better next year. If you think about it in livestock production, just because of the way animals are raised, we don't have the technology today to really get a good look at the variation which is happening within growing livestock during the production process. For instance, our feeding systems really make it very impractical, if not impossible, to measure, for instance, the individual animal consumption, except in some of the new sow barns, where animals are tagged and fed according to a schedule. And visually, if you appraise, say, 1,000 animals in a barn, you're not really able to see the distribution that's there. Your eye is kind of focused almost immediately to an animal with a scrape or an animal that needs medical attention or an animal that's being more friendly than another and coming up to you and trying to get your attention. So we've really missed seeing in the way that crop farmers can see with aerial and satellite imagery and some other things, the variation that's happening in the process so that we can intervene during the process to reduce it.
But your point was that the key to profits, the path to increasing profits for producers is through measuring and controlling variance. And explain that.
Right. Because it's difficult to measure individual animals, except at the slaughter plant where each individually is harvested and measured in a number of ways and reported back, we haven't focused on ways to do that. And in a mature industry like we have in modern animal production, we've really gotten very good at capturing most of the low-cost methodologies, technologies, and, say, scale economies. But what we haven't been able to do, because we haven't focused on it or had the data, is to be able to reduce the variability of the outcome of the animal. And we know that pretty much everywhere in the world, even if they don't have a matrix which specifically values animals by individual weights and, say, a measure like lean percent, the meat and the size of the cut and the size of the primal and that has varying values depending on its size, thickness, and other quality measures. So if we're able to reduce the spread of the outcomes so that more of the outcomes are what we really intended them to be, which is high-value outcomes, we'll be able to sort of take the next step in extracting more value utilizing fewer resources. And that's the real key for the future, because most of the resources that go into animal production are becoming scarcer. For instance, corn is being diverted to ethanol use, as well as rural labor supplies are kind of dwindling and so on. And so as resources become scarcer and scarcer, it's important to be able to deploy them in such a way that you really maximize the value of and don't waste the process in producing a lot of off product.
Well, and that brings it to you stress the need to focus. How producers should focus on the things that are important. How do you recommend they do that?
Well, one of the first ways they can begin to look at the variation in their process is by examining the individual carcass data that comes back from the packer. If they can collect that and then be able to combine it in their records so that they attach the buildings and the other information that goes with those outcomes, what they're able to do is see the final outcome of everything they've done from start to finish very clearly. Now, that doesn't give you a way to intervene during the process. It just shows you the end product variation that your system is pushing out. Now, that variation is affected at the end by a variety of things like disease level of the animals, season of the year affects variance. When it's very hot or very cold, animals grow at different rates. The genetics you use, the feeding strategies, whether you have fat in the diet or whether you're using byproducts or different feed ingredients, all affect variation. And so far, what we've been doing is measuring average outcomes instead of the variation also, the standard deviations and so on. So I recommend that the first place to begin to examine the variation in your system is to look at what it delivered to the packer. And that's readily available. Then as you make interventions, you can watch that in the shape of that end product variation either improve or get worse as a way to kind of monitor and measure the effectiveness of interventions that you may be trying.
You stressed one important take-home message, and that was comparing the group average weight to the individual pig optimal weight. Explain that.
Well, if you think about a single pig and the weight that it should have achieved to, for instance, make the most money, net return over all the costs that have gone into it, you can calculate what that is. But we don't, even though we sell pigs in a sense individually, we really sell them as truckloads or distributions that are ready to and have to go this week. So in practicality, we can't wait for and monitor each individual pig until it gets into that exact optimal value range. And therefore, we're sending out all the time truckloads of pigs that all have different weights. So we have to begin to think about distribution optimization rather than single pig optimization. And when you do that, one of the interesting things that you find is the wider the variance in a distribution, in general, the lower will be the profit optimal average weight for that group. So in other words, the more spread out the weights are on the truck, the profits tend to be maximized at a lower average weight for all the animals on the truck than they would be had you grouped them tighter. And that's pretty easy to visualize for most producers if they think about the matrix that they're selling into, because the wider the range of the animals, the more likely the tails of that distribution are going to push into the sort loss. And if you raise the average weight of a widespread distribution, you're going to push lots of animals in that heavyweight tail into severe discounts. So in order to avoid that and to optimize the weight over all the animals taken in at once, what we find is that the optimal average weight for that group falls as the standard deviation gets wider, to a point at least. Then if you affect things which lower the standard deviation in practices and standard operating procedures and health status and other things you can do, if you're able to reduce that standard deviation, everything else being the same, like the price of the last finisher diet and the price of pigs, that optimal weight for the group actually rises. So by focusing on standard deviation reduction, you can actually produce more pounds that are profit optimal and, well, at a heavier, and each animal at a heavier weight.
This isn't the best of times for the hog industry. But as an ag economist, how optimistic are you right now about the industry? Where are we at, do you think? Is it going to get worse before it gets better, or what?
I really think of this as the ground shaking before some pretty big changes in the industry if some of these more precision-based things are not employed. And I think this is a really an ideal time for producers to think about things beyond the typical strategies that help them extract more value and therefore less loss than they would be getting otherwise. And we talked about today how many of the key resources used by agriculture are going to come into more and more restriction because of just global demand due to a rising population. And so knowing we're going to be resource constrained in the future, if we can extract more good quality, you know, wonderful, good eating pork from fewer bushels of corn and labor hours and everything else, the more we're going to be set up to not have these continual kinds of shocks as we sort of step into a future that's going to be more resource constrained, taxed potentially, more heavily regulated to restrict certain technologies and the use of certain inputs and so on. We'll be naturally getting ready for it instead of getting knocked to the mat every few years and having to get up in sort of a dazed fashion. But long run, I'm extremely optimistic for the industry. But hog farmers know, who've been in the business a long time, that there are always these narrow gates that come every once in a while, and part of being in this industry is knowing how to manage your way through those.
All right, that's all the questions I have, Dennis. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Nope, I'm really excited to be here. It's a great group, and it's, I think, the third year that I've been able to be with them. They're very progressive, very efficient pork producers. Mm-hmm. So it's always a challenge to bring them something that I hope will lead them to something that they can improve on. They're just a great group in general.
Good. Thank you very much, Dennis.